Hannah and Leo, all the way from Hong Kong, but really from many parts of the world. Well, the two of you are well-traveled, and we love you guys. Thanks for coming home for a few months, and I'm going to turn it over to you too.
I guess my slideshow I made at 12 last night, so it's probably not that good. I was sitting there like half asleep and like, I need to get photos. So we'll see how that goes. Let's pull up the first photo. Oh, yeah. We're going to tell who we are in a second, but this guy first, I'm sure you noticed the dancing style was a little bit different than maybe you've seen before. And his outfit is also maybe a little different than you've seen before. If you want to show them on the stage, you saw earlier, but he's wearing what they call a lava lava in his language. We would say it's a skirt, but it's not. It's very manly where he comes from. So if you can see there in the middle, in the circle, is Samoa, is how you pronounce it. It's a tiny, tiny island. You actually can't even see it normally. So that's why they had to write it in big letters so you can find it. So Australia is on the southwest there. And then up there is, as you can see, San Francisco. And Samoa is in the between. Like usually Leo has to say, you know where New Zealand is? It's kind of near there. So it's just north of New Zealand and south of Hawaii. So it's a very small island. Actually, there's four islands, right, altogether. And Leo, you're from which island?
Savai, the big island.
The big island.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not that big.
Don't tell us.
And what language do you speak there?
I speak Talofa. It's been hello. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, okay. So he's wanting you to copy him right now. So.
I said, clap your hands.
Yeah, then this is our lovely daughter who's crying. can I say come? Okay, so now I'll introduce ourselves after all that craziness. But okay, this is Kanese, our two-year-old. Say hello. And then we have a four-month-old over here. This is Enoka. You can show this Zoom people too, Mom, if you want to come. Yeah, this is Enoka. He's 4 months and Kanese is 2.5. His name in his language is Enoch, and this is Genesis, Kenese. So this is our little family. I'm Hannah, and this is Ilalio. And at our wedding, Pastor Chuck had a bit of a hard time pronouncing it. I don't know if you know this. Do you remember this? At our rehearsal, he kept saying Ilalio, and Val would be in the very back, Ilalio! Every single time. It was so funny. But on the day of, he did it successfully. Yeah, so I'm Hannah. My dad was over here. His name's Roland. Some of you know him. And then my mom is Terry Lynn, who's holding our baby. Actually, our family has been attending West Ottawa since, I believe, 1995 or 1996. So almost 27, I don't know, a long time. Since I was 5, so if you do the math, you can figure out I'm 32. So yes, West Ottawa has been my home church for many, many years. But as you probably have noticed, I haven't been around. You probably are like, who is that random person that sometimes sings at the front or is on the piano? Yeah, so I grew up here, but for the last 12 years, I have not actually lived in Canada. I've been traveling around. So we'll share a little bit about that. And then this is my husband, Ilalio, Leo, and he's from Samoa, as you can see. And we actually met in Hong Kong. So we'll tell a little bit of our story together as well. But maybe you can start sharing. No, it's not true. He says that I liked him first, but it's not true. I will debate that till the day I die. Yeah, so we're here to share as missionaries, but we don't know a lot of you. So we also just want to share a bit of our story. That's our main purpose this morning, to tell you who we are so you don't just feel like we're random strangers doing stuff around. Leo's always barbecuing and people are like, who's that guy on the barbecue? Or he's like helping with your children at a sports camp. He's not creepy. He's a great guy. Yeah. So backtracking. So I guess he can tell a little bit of my story so that he can rest a bit from his heavy exercising, dancing, breathing. Okay. So as I said, I've been outside of Canada for about 12 years. I don't know if any of you have heard of YWAM or Youth with a Mission, but it's a missions training organization that is all over the world. And I did my initial training program in 2009 when I was 18 years old, almost 19, in Hawaii. Actually, at the same time, I didn't know him until I think like 8 years later, but he was doing his same program in Samoa. So we were both in the Pacific Island starting in January 2009, following Jesus and joining missions. So I think that was pretty cool. We're both in the Pacific at the same time, having no idea that we would meet each other years later and get married and have two kids and maybe more, who knows. 2009. So I did my DTS and I came back here to Canada for a little bit. And then I actually ended up going to the US in Atlanta for 3 years. And I did a Bible college there, a school of ministry. And that was so in 2009, I did my DTS and then I went to the USA and I did 3 years of biblical school training. But it wasn't just a regular Bible school. It was also much on the field, practical work. So we were doing things all the time that scared the heck out of me. Like we were told to go on the street, hold up the free prayer, free hug sign and see who comes by. And, you know, we do that. Tons of outreach in inner city Atlanta. We actually lived on what they called the million. And we would have like gunshots all the time. We had a stabbing in front of our apartment. But yeah, it was pretty intense time, but it was also really amazing because it was almost like I could see physically this light of like protect, like this protective light around that apartment. And no one ever in all the years there has ever gotten hurt. And actually many of the street people end up protecting us. If we say, oh, we're with Pastor Paul or we go to the Dream Center, they would go, okay, we'll make sure that you can get across this street safely. Or they would just really take care of us because we've been in the community for years and serving. The pastor who originally started the ministry came with a lawnmower and basically just mowed lawns. And then it grew from there to being one of the biggest Dream Centers in the USA, which is actually also a pretty big missions organization. They do inner city ministries. So working with street kids, with brothels, with homeless, like all kinds of different things inner city wise. So that's what I did for 3 years. And in that time I went to Kenya and I traveled to over 30 states doing different missions trips and speaking at youth groups, at juvenile delinquent centers, homeless shelters. We just went everywhere. And it was an incredible time in my life. And I learned so much and was challenged a lot. And then I came back home for a few months. And then I went to Australia and I ended up being there for 4 years. And I was working with YWAM then as a staff member at a worship school. We also did outreaches to different countries. So I went to East Timor 3 times, Fiji, and then in Hong Kong. I went to Hong Kong once and I ran into this guy who, Dad, there's a little video on there saying Leo on the drums. You can show that video. You may have seen him playing the drums in the recent weeks, but this is actually how I did fall in love with Leo, was watching him play drums. Just for fun. But that was the same stage he was playing on the first time I ever went there as a missionary. And we were working with the YWAM base there that he was staffing at. So I was there for 7 weeks. And as I said, he was on staff there. Coming from Samoa, he went to Hong Kong. And that's part of his story. But this is where we met. And then I was only there for 7 weeks. And in that 7 weeks, he liked me first. And he likes to say that he winkled his eyes at me. And you tell me that he winkled his eyes and then he sent me a little message saying, hi, I would love to talk to you about something face to face. It's not bad. Don't worry. That's all he said. Freak out. Anyways. And then we had this meeting and yeah, he shared that he had been observing me over the past weeks as being a missionary there. And he was really impressed with my relationship with Jesus and the leadership that I was. Anyways, which to me, that was a big deal because in being in ministry for so long and being a little bit older, I felt like most of the guys or the men in my life were very intimidated by me and they never wanted to be in relationship with me because I'm a pretty strong person. But he was not intimidated by that. He actually was, because he said he's stronger. Amen. Praise God. So he said, oh, yeah, I really loved how you lead your team. And yeah, all these things that was super nice. And I've never heard a boy say to me, and I was like, oh. And so I told him I'm never going to live in Hong Kong. And he said, well, we'll take it one step at a time. And I said, okay, we'll see how that goes. And so we started Skyping. I went back to Australia, and for a year we did long distance. At the time, his English was not very good. So we had an interesting time trying to communicate over Skype. And this is before Zoom. So it was, I don't even know what we used, Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp video, like all kinds of different things. I visited once for a couple of weeks. And then at the end of that year, he actually came to Canada for the first time. And some of you met him because Pastor Chuck made him dance then too. And yeah, that was in 2017. So after that year of being apart, I decided to move to Hong Kong, even though I said I would never do that. Because I said, at my age, you know, there's not many opportunities that come my way, and better just see how it goes. Otherwise, I may never not get another one. Just joking. No, he's been great. And so I'm glad I made the move. And it was pure faith, because I really was, loving it being in Australia. But I said, if we're going to give this a chance, I need to be in person and let's try this out. So I moved there with an unknowing of how long and what would happen. Would this work out? Would it not? Would I be homeless? No, I would never be homeless. Thanks, Mom and Dad. You guys have always welcomed me back, and all the years and years later, every year coming back, Mom, help. Yeah, so I did move there, and actually within 6 months, we did get engaged, and then we came back to Canada for a few months. Got married his second time being in Canada, and some of you saw him then as well. And he did lots of dancing at our wedding. I think there's a couple of pictures of our wedding up there, but I reordered them accidentally and named them just the numbers. Well, that's not quite it, but oh, there's our engagement. Go back. So that's when he was asking me to marry him. I don't know if you can notice this tiny green thing in his hair. It's a little comb because he was brushing his hair out anyways. And I was like, are you serious? In our engagement pictures for the rest of our lives, you have that comb in your hair? But it adds character, right? So yeah, it was a beautiful little beach. He did a really good job. He set it all up with some friends, and he made a little heart with candles and petals. So sweet. And so we got engaged, and then yes, I did say yes. There was some I did say yes. Yes. This is actually when we went to Samoa after we got married. We went there for 5 weeks, and that was pretty fun. Oh, that's a wedding picture from here in Canada. Okay, this is our wedding. Yeah, we did lots of dancing, and at our wedding, he had some other Samoans come all the way to our wedding. They came from Hong Kong, and they actually did a big dance with all four or five of them. And they did quite a few dances and had everyone dancing at the reception. It was really fun. And I did a special dance for him. I surprised him with the Samoan princess dance, which I learned and did terribly at, but really shocked him. He had no idea I had bought a special dress or anything for it. And that's a big tradition for them, is the lady always ends the party with her dance. And so I did that for him, and he was so confused and shocked. I was pretty proud of myself. that's my family. Yes, I've got a big family on my side. That's Kinese when she was first born. Yeah, okay, these are all random orders. I'm so sorry. Okay, there's an example of his dancing. Some other Samoan guys this is an elderly home in Hong Kong. They had a blast. They were so cute. They were all in their little wheelchairs. Like, oh my God, first they were so shocked, but then they really were having a great time with them. So sweet. And then I think there's another dancing video after that. This is Leo's parents and my parents. That's when we were in Samoa as well. But yeah, so I guess after Hong Kong, we got married and then went back to Hong Kong, and we've been there ever since end of 2018. So we were actually stuck there for 4 years because of COVID hit in the middle of that, and we actually couldn't get home to visit. So this time coming, we came 2 months ago. This has been our first time home in about 4 years. And so we're really so happy to be here and so thankful for our West Ottawa family that has been such an incredible support to us for the past, well, for me, 12 years, but for us as a family, 4 years of our marriage and of being missionaries in a foreign land together with no family. And it's, you guys have really been our family through that time. And even though you didn't know us necessarily, like, we've really benefited from your prayers and just such a blessing from yeah, your support, and not only financial, but I know like the prayers that you guys have prayed have saved our lives literally many times. And so thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for that support. And that's why we wanted to share a little bit of who we are, so you're not just feeling like these random people, but we are your family and you are our family, and we're so thankful for you guys. And some of you guys, I think, are here for the shower, so you may never see us again, but thank you guys too. You're great. So now I'm going to maybe let Leo share a little bit of his story and how he kind of got into missions and how he went to Hong Kong from Samoa, so for random, and then maybe share a little bit what he's been doing ministry-wise the past few years.
My name is Leo, again. I just want to say I know Jesus. I really, really thanks God, like how he used me. I never be able to be here, because when I joined the YWAM, they say, if you don't speak English, you can't go out. I was, oh man, I almost give up for that, no, because then I found out like Jesus can use anyone, like, you know, even if it doesn't speak English or what. Then I was like, okay. So I came, before that, I didn't finish any school, like back home. I have a naughty boy at the school. I only go for sport. And I don't finish any school, like, you know, because in my life there, man, it's really hard to learn things, and especially if together with other friends, you know. So we get bad influence and then become like really, really studying in the school. But when we go there, hey, that's my brother. No, that's mine. So yeah, when I grow up, I always afraid to around foreigners, so the Western people, because we have a lot of tourists. When we saw them, we call them Balangi, which means white people. I mean, whenever we saw, it's like for us in the island, when we see any one person, then white person, then we were so happy, like, because we see like, who's that? Then we go, hey, Balangi, Balangi, Balangi. So they don't know what they mean. We just, because they, and say, Balangi is mean white people. And then we say, Balangi, oh, hello. And after we say hello, we run away. So yeah, when I grow up, it's, I done a lot, like, didn't finish, and end up helping my parents stay at home to farmer, fishing a lot, trying to help out my parents. Oh, I don't want to waste your money to go to school. Because I'm just not really, I don't do very good at the school, because I just go to play for sport. But because I come home, I see them working so hard to waste money to pay off fee and then everything. So it getting, make my heart like, I'm just, so I decide to finish school and then stay home and help them. So I would do anything to pay back what you guys doing to me. So, but I didn't know that God was calling me. I didn't know the mission of praying over my mom when I'm inside my mom's home. So they will pray over to me. So I will be a missionary in the future. So I grow up, my village, a lot of them are missionary out here in Asia and everywhere. So they will pray over to me. I grow up, we have Bible study in our village. I go there just for a chance to know if, oh, I want to know about like what they're talking about, but I only go for activity. Like, but from that moment, like when people are sharing about like how God changed their life, that's where I become like, oh man, I was working on that time too. I quit my job. I don't mind my wonder. I want to try this. I want to go. I went to YWAM in the other island. So I went there and I didn't know there's a lot of foreigners in the base. As soon as I get there, I see a lot of them walking around. I say to my friend, I'm in trouble here. I can't speak any English, but I see a lot of them. So we eat together every time. And then they oversee them, they're sitting on the table. So I take my food, I run away from them. I don't want to sit because I'm afraid to speak with them. If they're asking me questions, I didn't know what to say to them. And then my leader say, don't worry about it. Just say anything to speak to them. They know, they understand. So I was starting to do that. And I pray a lot, I'm asking God. I started to read my Samoan Bible, the English Bible, to get to help me. And I pray a lot, God, to help me to speak. If He want me to use me, I want to speak English to go out. Yeah, and I pray that God give me the Asia. That's why I end up in Hong Kong. God calling me. Now I say, I'm ready. Even if I know I have a small English, I want to go. I'm ready to go. Yeah. So when I end up in Hong Kong, I still have a small English when I was speaking. So I used my skills, used my action to spread out the gospel. And also because I love to help out people. Even if I don't say anything, I just go help out. So from that part out, like how much like I don't speak, but I'm so blessed with my helping. And I started to learn more. I say, I want more Jesus. So and then I singing a lot of English song. Sometimes I pronounce word like really, really different. So yeah, and I found out God really using me from little to until now. No. So I really thanks God how He used my life. And in Hong Kong, I do homeless in Hong Kong. As you see some other photos here, we went to the park. That's our youth church. They come once a month. So we do worship there. And then we give out the like 100 breaker. Like every Friday, like to the homeless, to place. When I went there, we really don't have a lot of money to do. I asked God, please, if you want me to do this, please help me to support and help me bring the local people. That's one of my heart. So, and then found like God provided them. There's a lot of locals helping out and a lot of church local because I want them to reach out their own people because there are some of them, they ignore their own people in this. So it was really see that how God like break that line. So yeah, and then even the so that's Ganesha giving the food bread to one of the homeless. And yeah, that too also sport, any kind of sport, because we know some other sport we don't play, but we just use it to reach out to people. And then we have a rugby team. We got one guy got baptized from there. One guy, Calvin. Yeah.
Oh, wait, not that one yet.
So one guy got baptized. So right now, he's a pastor. He's looking after all the local boys in the team. So really thanks God. How we know we play so hard, but a lot of them are telling us, should a Christian should play rugby? Say, yeah, why not? Because the Bible says it's better to give than receive. And they was all laughing at us. So we really thanks God how we bless the people there in Hong Kong through our life. So as you see, so we give and they receive. Yeah, we do a lot of things before drug rehabs. People too, like people are very addicted on the drugs. Yeah, we go there, play sport with them, to pray with them, get to share our testimony and encourage them and build a relationship with them. It was so nice be able to bless those guys too. Yeah, thank you.
There's some more. There's a picture of Leo with the drug rehab guys. I'm not sure if it's named or not, but that's not them. So as Leo said, with the drug rehab, they go out every week as well. They're actually, during the lockdowns especially, they were only allowing him and a couple other the guys from his ministry to the island. It's actually quite a secluded island that they go to for a whole year. They're not allowed to contact anyone outside. And that's how they get rehabilitated and actually learn about Jesus and get off drugs and everything. And so these guys would go out every week. Well, actually, this is a homeless video of us caroling in Chinese, trying to do some Chinese songs, and it was really funny. And then, yeah, I don't know if. And then they also have done these salmon umus that we're gonna do next week, a big cookout. They do it for all of the guys on the beach. That's at the beach of their little secluded island, and they just have a great time with them. Yeah, and he is really involved with the drug rehab center, and it's been such a blessing over COVID that they still have access. Because most of the churches that were going there weekly or tried to go are not allowed anymore, but they really have allowed just him and two other guys to go in and they do sports every week. So they do soccer, they do kayaking and different things, just get them active, get them out of their shells and boxes, and they share their testimonies. They do a little chapel service with them and build relationship. And it's a really powerful ministry. And also regarding his rugby ministry, he shared a little bit, but he's actually a part of two teams. He's part of a tackle team and a touch rugby team. And the touch rugby team this last year and a half or 2 years, he was actually the captain. And yeah, the touch rugby is really cool. It's more recreational, but it's really, there's a lot of fellowship that happens as well. And this was really cool. There was a guy that contacted him on Facebook Messenger from a touch team he'd played with a few years ago. We hadn't seen him in a long time. The guy actually got stuck up in China for 2 years and hadn't been able to come back home. But he landed back in Hong Kong and he's like, I need to get right with God. And I remember years ago, this one guy on the team that was a Christian and he was really someone I admired. So he contacted Leo. And now this guy is in Hong Kong, he's at our church, he's going to Bible studies, he's trying to get his life together back with his wife. And it's just amazing to see, yeah, you just never know what will happen and who will remember, you know, even though he's, yeah, just been so faithful to share who he is, why he's there, and play hard, like he said, but with like the characteristics of Jesus on the field is very different than what you'd see from the other guys. there's been times where he's obviously been tempted to fight back and he doesn't, and that sticks out to people. And there's all that kind of stuff that goes on the field. And as he was captaining the team, that's what he really was instilling in the players. Like, we're not about destroying the other team, we're about serving and we're about fellowship and unity. And it's just been really cool to see him grow in leadership in that way, and seeing him being able to express things like that he wasn't able to before in English. Like you said, it's just God is really blessing him and in his faithfulness. And myself, in the past couple of years, I haven't been doing as much ministry. I've been mostly at home with the kids, and that's been another challenging season, but it's been really amazing to see Leo really step out and grow. And the homeless ministry he mentioned as well, they go weekly. And during COVID, actually, so many of the people that were serving there stopped going because they were afraid of being in that area like that. But Leo kept going every week, like in spite of everything, in spite of rain, in spite of being Easter holiday, he'd go. Like, he went every Friday. And the men there, actually the team now, consists of some homeless people. They want to serve with him because they've been seeing him do this for 3 or 4 years. And they love him so much. Like, if he's not there, they're like, where's Leo? Where's that guy, the big guy who plays guitar and doesn't speak? But he does, like, he really has an impact on these guys. And it's amazing to see the homeless trying to serve, because sometimes it's really cute. So there's a video too. There's a video of them serving burgers to a bunch of the elderly people. And they're at first, when they first would do that, they just swarm and attack and like, give me my food. And it was really intense and actually scary for some of the ladies that were helping. But Leo actually was able to get everyone organized. After a few weeks, they would start doing it on their own. They'd line up and wait so patiently for them to get their own burger, and everyone would get one in turn. And then it was really special watching him helping the other homeless try to help their friends, because they would be like, no, you can't have any, no, like, and just get really intense back. But then, like, as they watched Leo do it, they would start like, oh, like, maybe you should be more nice. And like, and it's just been really special to see them mentoring these elderly men that are on the street that have been there for years and years, and a lot of them have drug issues, but they want to serve, and they see us doing this and they're actually joining in, and it's so special. And some of them are accepting the Lord and they're getting into drug rehab programs. And it's a really grassroots ministry that he's got going. Like, it's not funded by anyone big. A lot of it comes even from our own pocket, but God is just really growing a heart, like you said, in the local church for the people of Hong Kong that are in poverty. Because I don't know if you know, but there's a vast difference between the rich in Hong Kong and the poor. It's actually like shocking. Like, you can see like a huge high rise with beautiful like mall in it. And then right next door, there's like a bridge where people are just living and drugs are everywhere. And they're just, actually, there was a bridge like that where they built a new thing up with like really rich people coming in, and they actually forced all the homeless off the bridge. And they didn't relocate them, they didn't help them, they just made them leave, and then they broke the bridge up. Like, they actually physically removed it, so they couldn't live there anymore. And that's how they just, yeah, it's really sad. And a lot of the people that have been coming out and helping him are saying, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and I didn't even actually know these people were here. Like, they are just in their own, they're on their own thing, doing their own thing, and they don't realize the poverty that's in their front door, like right there. And so it's been really special that, because they speak Cantonese, they have the heart language that they can mentor and walk alongside these people. And so it's been so beautiful to see a team built of locals, some Christians, some not, some are just coming out because they sense something different about our group. Because there's a lot of other groups that go out, but they keep coming back to this one because it's just so relational. And so it's so about, we can spend time with this one guy for 2 hours and it's okay. Or you can, you know, spend time with that person for an hour. Or let's, like, there's some pictures of Leo actually wrapping up their legs, like the wounds, and changing dressings, and they cut their hair. There's some of those pictures too. But yeah, they cut hair as well weekly, and they just serve. And there's, I think now two or three, there's two teams going out every week, I think. Like, it's grown a lot, and it's really amazing to see how it was really just Leo going out every week, and then just God putting people in his path, literally on the street, that are like, what are you doing? I'm doing this. Can I do this too? Yeah. Here's my phone number. And then they come out every week for 2 years. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the dedication and the commitment that we are seeing, like, only God can do that. He can build a team like that. So yeah, there was this one kid. He was so sweet, a little university guy. He saw us singing on the street, and he was like, what on earth? He actually had just recently got saved. So he knew our songs were something. We were singing in Cantonese. And again, he was like, maybe he didn't really understand what we were singing, but we tried, but he knew something was up. So he came over, and then he became one of our most faithful team members for a few years. This little university guy who walked by there every day, he said, and he never felt the need to stop until he saw us serving his own people. And he was like, oh, why am I not doing this? And then he would bring his other university friends too. And it was just so neat how God would do that, like bringing people in such like in a natural and raw way, I guess. Yeah. So that's kind of a lot of the stuff that we've been involved with over the few years. So rugby, homeless ministry, the drug rehab, and they do also a lot of coaching kids. And yeah, like what Leo did this week at the sports camp, that's a lot of what they do as well. They just coach kids in sports and teach them how to have good sportsmanship and how to bring Jesus into the field and different things like that. And he's really gifted at that kind of thing. Like he said, he also serves. He's one of the ones that people call everywhere and anywhere, like, hey, can Leo come and help me with this? Can Leo come and help me with that? My toilet's broken. I need to move. I need this. I need that. And he always does it. Like, he always is like, oh, okay. He goes, but it's just like, and then they're so blessed by him. And he's such a servant heart, like he said, and that really touches people. And it's, yeah, really impactful. So that's, yeah, I think it's already after 12, so we should probably stop sharing, but next week, so now you can see a little bit about, maybe we'll, as we go through the pictures, you'll see some things. Dad, you want to go from the beginning to the end and we can stop? I'll stop you. And it's, but that's an umu. Don't mind the shirtlessness. That's a cultural thing. It's good. Okay, well, maybe you got this email. This is a beautiful poster that Patty Walker made. Thank you, Patty. It's so beautiful. So next Sunday, Leo is going to be at the back of the church building this big, basically rock oven thing. And we're going to be roasting huge pig and chickens and taro and sweet potatoes. And then if we could bring salads and sides to kind of help with it, because we'll be doing the main meat. And actually, at a real Samoan umu, there aren't any vegetables. It's true. It's literally just meat and taro. let's do salads. It's good. It's healthy, healthy. So that's a bit of an example. So they put, you're not going to have banana leaves. I think this time you'll use cardboard, but you never know. You might find some banana leaves somewhere. But they do, yeah, big. They make the rocks really hot enough that I can actually cook. They put the rocks right inside the pig.
Yeah, we heat up the rocks. They usually take 1 hour to prepare everything on top the rock. As soon as we see the rock is heating up or everything, we usually put rocks inside the pig and then put it on the top, everything. So we put the rock down first, put everything on top of the rocks, and the rocks on top again. And then we cover everything. So it only take half an hour. Yeah. If you hit the rocks really well, it doesn't take so long.
Leo's very proud of this method because actually he says he's one of the only islands in the Pacific that does it this way. A lot of them do it underground, but he says his way is better.
Yeah, we find out for other islands, they dig the hole. And then I told them, oh man, we are us, very easy, busy. Underground. When they go back home, some of them, they don't want to dig the hole. They do on the ground because they found out it's really better way to do it. As you see that, you see those pigs. We have eight pigs.
If you're a vegan or don't look, but this is for a huge party that we did last year for Samoan Independence Day. There was like 200 people there. They were doing a big demonstration of all the island ways. And so I don't know if they do it like this at home, you know, so extravagantly throwing the pigs, but it was like a big demonstration of how they do things. And now they're putting the taro on. They already put the pigs down. Now they're putting the taro, and then they'll start putting the leaves, the rocks and the leaves on after that. So that's what we'll be doing next week. So we'd love for you guys to come and enjoy. It'll be right after the service. If you want to take a peek and go out there and see what Leo's doing, come early or come whoever's preaching, I don't know, don't leave while they're preaching, but you can just take a peek and see what he's doing, because it's really cool and really fun. And so we also would love everyone to come dressed, ready for a tropical party. So wear your leis, wear your shells, wear your flowers. Oh, you don't have flowers. Who's wearing flowers here? I saw a couple of people. You're wearing flowers, Mary. Yes, you wear flowers. We wear, yes, florals. Florals are great. Hawaiian shirts, if you have any. I know Bob's probably got a few. My dad has some. Wear your Hawaiian shirts. Bring a palm leaf. I don't know. It'll be fun. So come dressed in your most tropical attire. The men can wear skirts. You have your permission this one time to wear skirts. And we'll probably do some more dancing as well and teaching you guys some dances. And we're going to get Chuck to do a solo. Just joking. Anyway, so bring a salad or dessert.
Thank you so much.
Wasn't that inspirational? And to hear of how God uses people and how he wants to use each one of us, eh? So we want to pray for you guys. And when you were speaking, I was thinking about Bible college professor of mine said one time. He said that faithfulness is like an escalator, and you guys have been faithful, and faithfulness takes us higher and further. And so that's the destiny God has for you, higher and further. He's got a call on your lives, and he's taken you around the world, and he's got incredible plans for you. So could we just pray for them, and let's join our hearts together. And we want to say thank you that, first of all, God, for your great faithfulness, Lord. You're the God who has been faithful, you are faithful, and you will be faithful. Lord, we just honor you, Lord, and we are inspired this morning, Lord. You have put a call upon this couple's lives, Lord. You put a call on their lives, Lord, and they have said yes to you. And that yes has included many, many adventures. It's included many, many hardships. It's included many, many joys and sorrows. But Lord, you have been faithful to them, and Lord, you will be faithful to them. Lord, thank you for their feet and, Lord, the ordering of their steps in the coming days, Lord. Thank you for your shalom, Lord, that rests on them. Lord, we pray for the favor and peace of God to only increase in the coming days, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord. May you continue to give us everything you have for us through their lives while they are among us, we pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.